In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today's Gospel presents us with a very, I think, pertinent point to consider in our society today, and especially in each of our own lives. This man, this father, whose son is dying, is really at the point of desperation. He knows nowhere else to turn. He's exhausted all these other means, and finally he comes to God. And tragically, I think this is true with most of us. When there's some difficulty in our lives, some problem, some tragedy, we will exhaust every other means, and then last of all, well, let's see if maybe God can help. And so we come to God last of all when we should have come to Him first. We have very little faith. And that is why our Lord rebukes this father in today's Gospel. Unless you see signs and wonders, you don't believe. I'm certain that this father truly loved his son. He was not going to leave any option unturned. I've heard of so many Catholics in such situations. They will go see the witch doctor. They will go see the fortune teller, just in case. And they never stop to realize what an offense this is against God. That you're putting your faith in devil worship. You're putting your faith in the world. You're putting your faith in a fellow human being. You're putting your faith in superstition. And last of all, well, if nothing else seems to work, we'll try God. And I believe most of us probably deserve that rebuke that our Lord gave to this poor father. Unless you see signs and wonders, you do not believe. And so we come to God last of all, and we say, Lord, please help me. And we fail to realize our own lack of faith. And we really have a misconception of who God is. Of what God is there for. For when we pray, we only come to God when we want something. When we need something. Or when something goes wrong in our lives, we say, why did God do this to me? What did I do to deserve this? And we only come to God with our hands held out to receive. And often when I consider such prayers, I think, do we think that God is nothing more than our servant, our slave, and we are actually the gods? We come to God in prayer and say, Lord, do this for me. Lord, I need this. I want this. Go get this. Go get that. Do this for me. Do that for me. And if you don't believe that, look at the children around you in the world today. How do they treat their parents? What are parents for? To give you what you want. You go to mom when you need money, or your dad when you need money, when you want to borrow the car. When you want to go somewhere, when you want to do something. That's what parents are for. Right, Franny? Well, you better not answer. But that's truly the way we approach God. To say, here, Lord, do this for me. Give me that. Give me this. And we forget. The apostles asked our Lord, teach us how to pray. And the first thing that our Lord teaches them is the Lord's Prayer, or as we know, the Our Father. And there are seven petitions there in that Our Father. But the one I'd like to focus our attention upon, it occurs very soon as we begin the Our Father. Thy kingdom come. We pray that God's kingdom will come here on earth, just as it is in heaven, that God's will is done here just like there. We're praying that we will learn God's will and do it. That God will enter our hearts, enter our lives, and transform us. And that all that God desires, we will desire. I hope I'm making a distinction here that we can see. We're not asking God to fulfill our desire. We're asking that God would make our desire conform to His desire. Not that God will do our will, but that we will do His will. And God isn't there just to fulfill our petitions. But our first and primary obligation in praying is to honor Him. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Blessed be Thy name. Holy is Thy name. This is how we have been taught to pray. Not to bend our knees and say, Lord, give me what I want. Give me what I need. Even if it is a dire situation, my son is dying. The first thing he wants to see in us is faith. And I like to compare the Father in today's gospel, this one that our Lord rebukes and says, unless you see signs and wonders, you don't believe. Compare this Father to another Father we read about in the Gospels, who said to Christ, it is not necessary that you should come under my roof. Only say the word and my servant will be healed. And our Lord says, I have not found such great faith in all of Israel. So it's not wrong for us to pray for these material things. It's not wrong for us to desire them. But we must make sure that we come with faith, that we come with a proper, humble attitude. And too often we are filled with pride, like a spoiled child approaching his parent, demanding. And I think you've all seen this. The spoiled child demanding of the parent, give me this or give me that. Even threatening the parent. The child threatens the parent. If you don't give me what I want, I'm going to create a scene. I'm going to yell and scream. And I've seen parents cower in fear of their children, giving them what they want. And as disgusting as this is to me, I can imagine how disgusting our prayers become to God. When we come to God and say, I'll make a deal with you, Lord. You give me what I want, and I'll do this for you. If you don't give me what I want, I'm not going to believe in you. I'm not going to go to church. I'll show you. I'm not going to receive the sacraments. That'll teach you a lesson. Does it sound familiar? And I ask such children, who do you think is really hurt? Your parents or you? You're all upset and now you're not going to eat your dinner. You're going to teach your parents a lesson. Well, your parents' stomach isn't going to be the one that's growling a little bit later on, is it? You only hurt yourself. When you threaten God in these ways and you refuse to receive the sacraments, you haven't taught God a lesson. You've only punished yourself. You've only harmed yourself. And so the first thing in our prayers is to bow our heads in all humility, recognizing our own unworthiness. Lord, I'm not even worthy to approach you. I cannot demand that you hear my prayer, but I come to you as our Father. As our Father who loves us. And I ask, I appeal in the name of this love that you hear my prayer. But most importantly, if you see that this is not in my best interest, tell me no. Do not give me what I ask for if it is not for your greater honor and glory, if it is not for my own good. If you see that this will be beneficial to me, then I ask you, please give it to me. If not, then please do not hear my prayer. Who comes to our Lord with such a prayer, with such an attitude? Where are the children who approach their fathers, their mothers, with such an attitude? I've seen all too many children with their birthday list or their Christmas wish list. I want this, this, and this. And if I don't get this one thing, then I am not going to be happy. It won't be a pretty scene. Have you seen such spoiled children? What is even worse is there are spoiled adults who approach our Lord in exactly the same manner. As I said earlier, it's not wrong for us to ask God for the things that we need, even for the physical things of this earth. But our Lord tells us that we must seek something first and not really be so absorbed and consumed by these material things. For in the Our Father, we do ask that God give us our daily bread, all that we need to sustain our lives this day. But most importantly, our Lord wants us to seek the kingdom of heaven. Seek that which is good for our souls. Our prayers should be first and foremost for our eternal salvation, for the greater honor and glory of God. And then we don't really need to worry about this body of ours, because God has promised He's already going to take care of that. Seek first the kingdom of heaven, and everything else will be given you besides. Don't worry about these things that you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, where you're going to sleep. The pagans that do not know God, they worry about those things because they don't know they have a heavenly Father. You know it. You know you have a heavenly Father that loves you. A heavenly Father that's taking care of you. He has brought you along this far. Do you think He's just going to forget it? He's brought you this far. He wants to take you all the way into heaven. He's not going to pull back now. Have a little bit of faith in Him. Trust Him. Even when things look like He's forgotten you, He's turned away from you. Redouble your humility, your faith, and come approach Him, full of confidence. Just as the prodigal son approached his father, humbled, Father, I'm not worthy to be called your son anymore. I have betrayed you. I have squandered my inheritance from you. I don't deserve to be called your son. Take me on as your servant. That is how humble we must approach our Lord. I have offended you, God, so many times. I'm not worthy to be called your child. Make me your slave. Do with me whatever you want. And if we come in that attitude, in that humiliation, just as the prodigal son's father would not accept him as a slave, but welcomed him as a son, put his coat on his shoulders and a ring on his finger, killed the fatted calf so they could have a celebration. Our Lord tells us there is more rejoicing in heaven over this one sinner that does penance than over 99 just who have no need of repentance. Come to God with a little bit of faith. Trust Him. He will take you by the hand and fulfill all your desires. Again, I'm assuming your desires are to please God, to be with God. Your desire is God's desire. And you will not be left wanting. You will be filled, you will be made happy, you will be complete. But it begins by coming to God in prayer. And if it is necessary that you're forced to come to God, and it's the man in today's gospel, by sheer desperation, you've tried everything else, then come to Him by this means. But learn a lesson from the Father in today's gospel. After He had received this miracle, after He saw the signs and the wonders that God had performed, He believed. And His faith was so great that it spread out throughout His whole family. It was not only this father, but His entire family believed because they saw the signs of God. When you receive that miracle, then begin to believe and begin to love. And then you will be able to come as the centurion and pray, Father, it's not necessary that you do this for me. You don't have to come. Just say the word. We can begin to pray as our Lord taught us in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, not my will, but thine be done. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendit super vos, et maniet semper. Amen.